This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later, we'll be talking about the age of the Grand Canyon, and breast cancer gene and new detection method. But first, a new bank opened its doors for business last week. It's a high-security bank. There's no single key that can open its deposit boxes. There's even no ATM on the outside. In fact, it's located way out of reach in a very remote location, the side of a mountain on a Norwegian island in the Arctic Circle. That's security for you. And you know, you can't put money in this bank, though the first deposits were made last week. 100 million seeds from over 100 countries. It is a seed bank, as you have guessed by now, with room for seeds for more than 200,000 different food crops. Its aim is to become the world's biggest depository of food crop seeds, and these seeds will be preserved right there in the cold for many years to come as insurance against the loss of crop diversity from threats like climate change. So if you need some seeds in the future and you don't know where to get them, perhaps you can go make a withdrawal from the seed bank. Joining me now to talk about the Arctic Seed Vault and how it fits in with efforts to preserve crop diversity is Carrie Fowler, the Executive Director of Global Crop Diversity Trust in Rome, Italy. He's a lot closer today. He's at WKNO in Memphis, Tennessee. Welcome to the program, Dr. Fowler.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you.
Do we really need a seed bank?
Absolutely. Crop diversity is the biological foundation of agriculture. The environment is always changing, sometimes dramatically through something like climate change, but routinely pests and diseases mutate, mount better to assaults against our crops, and crop breeders, plant breeders, need to fashion new varieties to respond to these kind of threats. And they use the resources, the natural diversity found within our crops that they can get from seed banks.
Are we in danger of losing our seed resources?
Well, we have been losing it. We lose it probably every day. I would suspect that a unique crop variety becomes extinct every day of the year. But sometimes we lose it in really dramatic fashion, such as the loss of the seed banks in recently in Iraq and Afghanistan and Burundi and Solomon Islands. In all of those cases through war and civil strife. Mm-hmm. And about a year and a half ago, a typhoon went through the Philippines and destroyed much of the collection in the National Seed Bank there. So sometimes it's very dramatic and we lose a lot of crop diversity in one day, but other times we lose it through equipment failure and mismanagement and accident. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about loss, that's a very polite way of saying it becomes extinct.
Tell us about your seed bank and why it will do what the others cannot, or hopefully.
Well, we hope so. It's an insurance policy, sort of the plan B, if you will. It's located inside of a mountain fairly near the North Pole. It's the farthest place in the world you can fly on a regularly scheduled airline, so it's remote, which is really good because it takes us away from most of the dangers in the world, mm-hmm. but it's also accessible. And located inside this mountain near in the Arctic, it's naturally frozen all the time, so if you're going to conserve seeds for a long time, you need to freeze them. So one of the things that we've done is to eliminate the problem of equipment failure. The seeds will be quite happy in a frozen state there, though, ironically, for being near the North Pole, we're actually going to freeze it even further. It's not quite cold enough for us, so we're lowering the temperature down to, in Fahrenheit terms, about -3 or -4. So if you're standing outside this seed vault, and you open up the front door, you look down a long tunnel running almost horizontal, about 130 yards into the mountain, solid stone mountain. You pass through some security systems and such, and then you're into three vault rooms, and each of the vault rooms is about 30 yards long, about 10 yards wide, and about 5 or 6 yards high. And in each of these vault rooms, we have the capacity to store samples of 1.5 million different crop varieties. So we have room to grow. We only think that about 1.5 million actually exist. And we're in the process now of filling up the bank with samples, each of them being about 500 seeds of all the different crop varieties.
And how many do you eventually want to get?
Well, we think that we'll eventually get in the neighborhood of 1.5 million different varieties of agricultural crops. We've got about Well, 269,000 varieties, I think, went in on just opening day last week.
Wow. And how long do you think that will take?
It'll probably take a couple of years. There's a regular cycle where seed banks will multiply their materials. They're constantly giving them out to researchers and plant breeders. And as you probably know, no seed can last indefinitely in these kind of conditions. So eventually you need to replenish your seed supplies and refresh them. So we're not building a time capsule. This is not the kind of facility where you put a lot of seeds in, lock the door, and walk away. This is actually a living and breathing institution where fresh seed will be moving in all of the time. And I'm sorry to say, we'll probably use it more frequently than we want to. We don't anticipate some kind of global catastrophe, though I think it'd be useful to have this seed vault where we to have such a thing. But we do anticipate that the many seed banks around the world will be having their own individual problems. And as I mentioned earlier, I think every day of the year is doomsday for one or more crop varieties. And now in the past, that's meant extinction. In the future, it's not going to.
Mm-hmm. Well, 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to the phone, see if we can get a phone call or two. No, phones aren't working today, so we'll talk more about it with you. Is it the fact that can anybody decide they want to, you know, give their own seeds, or how do you go about deciding whom you're going to collect these from?
The seed vault really functions as an insurance policy for existing seed banks. There are over 1,000 of these around the world. The biggest in the United States is the National Seed Bank collection, which is in Fort Collins, Colorado. And the reason that we are an insurance policy for seed banks and not for every individual farmer and gardener around the world is precisely because seeds can't last forever in cold storage. And when it comes time to refresh those seed supplies, we really need to be dealing with an institution that has a plan for regenerating their seed stocks and can send us fresh seed. We don't, as you can imagine, have those kind of facilities near the North Pole.
Are you storing cultivated crops or wild varieties or both?
It's both. It's the diversity of cultivated crops plus the wild relatives of those crops.
So that if you had rice or maize or whatever, you'd have the modern version plus the wild versions of those.
That's right. I mean, most people don't really have a handle on how much diversity there is out there. So as I very often tell people, if you ask someone walking down the street how many varieties of rice there are, and they say, well, brown and white and Uncle Ben's, and maybe they think of basmati or something like that. But this is really the tip of the iceberg. There's something between 200,000 and 400,000 different types of rice, and that compares, if you will, with 400 breeds of dogs. So there's a lot more diversity in our agricultural crops than most people understand. And you could sort of say, why bother? Do we really need that much diversity? And, of course, the answer to that question is that we need it because it contains traits that we probably will need and certainly have in the past needed to help crops adapt to a new pest or disease or a new climate. You know, there's this old saying that the first rule of successful tinkering is to save all the pieces. And with agriculture, we're still tinkering.
1-800-989-8255. Let's see if we can get a phone call or two. Dave in Grand Junctions, Colorado. Hi there.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to sample and experience rice in Sumatra of varieties that I'd never seen before. But it also fascinated me to know and to experience a little bit about some of the information required to plant those seeds. And I'm wondering, in the seed bank, are you storing information about where the seed came from, how it's used, optimum planting conditions, that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
Yes. Well, first of all, there are two systems, actually. One is that the seed bank supplying the sample typically has the database with that kind of information. But also at the Global Crop Diversity Trust, where I work, we're actually fashioning or putting together with some partner institutions a global database of seed varieties, sort of an Amazon.com, if you will, for plant breeders, where they can go in and search for different characteristics and information about all the different varieties. So we're not just warehousing a bunch of seeds up near the North Pole. We actually have pretty sophisticated information systems to tell us exactly what's in each package.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for calling, Dave. Do you have to package the seeds in certain liquids, gels, folders, or you just lay them out in a little Petri dish or something?
Well, to make it simple, there are really two big requirements for conserving seed long term. One is to dry them to the right moisture level, and the second is to freeze them. So the seeds in Svalbard will be dried to a very low moisture level to reduce the biological activity inside, and then they're packaged in a four-ply, special four-ply, airtight, watertight envelope, heat-sealed. They're then put in boxes. Those are sealed up. They're behind airlock doors. There are a lot of security systems, but in some ways, the whole procedure is, at least on the surface, it looks fairly simple. You dry seeds and you freeze them, and if that's done properly, mm-hmm. some of the crops can really last an incredibly long time. I mean, the viability of some of this crop seeds is really quite amazing.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. We got to hang on, Kevin, because we got to take a break. Okay.
So
stay there, and the clock is a It's a master that we have to take care of. Stay with us. We're going to come back and talk more about the Seed Vault and take more of your questions. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. You can also go to Second Life, where Science Friday has an island there. And you look for the avatars with Science Friday T-shirts on it. Search for us. We'll give you a T-shirt. And you can ask questions and join us. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation, Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking about the new Arctic Seed Vault and how it fits in with efforts to preserve crop diversity. We're talking with Carrie Fowler, Executive Director of the Global Crop Diversity Trust. The Arctic Seed Vault is located in really cold weather, way out there in Scandinavia. Let me ask you, Dr. Fowler, what do you do about plants that don't have seeds?
That's a great question. The Seed Vault won't help those very much. So one of the initiatives of the Crop Trust where I work is we're sponsoring some research to try to improve conservation methods. But it's one of the reasons why we, of course, need other seed banks and mm-hmm. facilities such as those around the world. Bananas would be a good example of such a crop, cassava, taro. Some of the root and tuber crops are difficult or even impossible to conserve with seed. So we need either living collections or tissue culture collections. And one of the things that we are doing is putting together a network of seed banks around the world that will conserve these kinds of materials. And we're structured as an endowment fund. And so we are trying to raise money for that endowment and actually ensure steady financing for these types of collections. But, you know, unfortunately, we don't mm-hmm. have the kind of real safety backup that the Svalbard Global Seed Vault offers.
Let's go to Steve in Nantucket. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Ira. I love your show.
Thank you.
Listen to it every Friday. I was just wondering about DNA mapping. I mean, wouldn't that be a faster, easier way to do all these seeds instead of building banks?
Yeah, aren't seeds obsolete, so to speak?
Yeah, well, as long as we map them, we could, you know, recreate them, and it would be a lot easier to do.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question because we hear about people collecting bacteria and other kinds of living organisms. They're not collecting the whole organism; they're just collecting its DNA.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sounds like such an easy way to do the whole deal.
Carrie, what do you say?
Well, maybe someday somebody will put us out of business, but for the moment, We haven't planned the seed vault with that in mind. It'll last for some thousands of years. But, you know, these different crop varieties are terribly complex, and the interactions between the characteristics they contain is very complex. And we don't really have the kind of complete knowledge or technological capacity to do what the caller mentions, at least not at the moment. So we're saving the diversity.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today.
And thank you very much.
Good luck on the seed vault. And can anybody come and look at it? Just a final question. Can you go visit the seed vault? Is it a tourist museum, or so far away you can't get any? Can't get near it.
You can get there, and you could take a look at the outside. But we're not selling tickets, and it won't be a tourist attraction.
Not yet. Right.
Not yet.
No. All right. Thanks for being with us. Gary Fowler is the executive director of the Global Crop Diversity Trust. That's based in Rome, and the seed bank is on the Norwegian island in the Arctic Circle.